HarperCollins presents The House of Fever by Polly Crosby. Read by Katherine Walker Booth. Part 1. Chapter 1. The Diamond Earring. The girl climbs carefully down the chute, the flats of her palms pressed against the shiny metal. She knows from experience that she must hold her muscles taut, that she cannot give in to the ache along her shoulders. She is confident that the laundry has not yet been emptied, but still, she shimmies down a foot or two more before drawing in her hands and knees, and she plummets. In that moment of weightlessness, as her body plunges down, thoughts flash through her mind. How far is the drop? How hard the ground? And then she lands with a soft thud, her body enveloped in dirty laundry. The tang of illness rises up from the sheets and blankets. She can smell the iron smack of blood, the saccharine sweetness of days-old perfume. Something sharp is pressing against her palm, and she looks down to see a golden glimmer, half hidden in the sheets. With nimble fingers, she picks it up and pushes open the hatch. A spear of light filters into the chute. It is a diamond earring. It glitters like treasure, and the girl pockets it. She puts her ear to the crack, listening hard. She can hear the thrum of the boiler and far off, the chugging ventilation fan. But that is all. There is no one here now. They are all fast asleep. Climbing out of the chute, she plants her bare feet silently on the cold, tiled floor, her skin beneath the nightdress twitching with excitement. The whole of the house lies ahead, expectant, like a held breath, as if it has been waiting just for her. Chapter 2. Agnes peered through the steam engine's smoke, narrowing her eyes against the sting of smuts as she searched the skyline. The land around them had been flat and dull for some time, with only occasional glimpses of the sea to their right. But now she could see the beginnings of a hill, rising gently on their left, and an unknown feeling began to stir inside her. There! Between the trees, like a magician's illusion, the flash of a house, the gleam of a lake. And then it was gone. The steady rhythm of the train began to ease, and as she drew her head in through the window, a tick of excitement careered through her body. They were nearly there. She sat back down in the carriage, her stomach roiling with nerves. Would the place be as she had imagined? Would he be as she remembered? As if she sensed her thoughts, her mother leant towards her, wiping a smut from Agnes's cheek, her hand lingering on her face briefly. Mother hadn't said a word since the ship had departed Calais, and seasickness had ravaged through her illness-weakened body. This silence worried Agnes. Through the window, she glimpsed the flat, grey line of the sea again, like a thin, unsmiling mouth, so dissimilar to the dazzling blue ocean they had so recently left behind in the south of France. She shivered, struggling to adjust to the change in temperature. She had forgotten how much cooler England was in the summer. As the locomotive came to a stop, in a cloud of hissing steam, Agnes took a handkerchief from her carpet bag and dabbed it across her mother's forehead. Outside, they could hear doors opening and people calling. "Come on, Mother, it looks like we've arrived." Her mother's eyelids fluttered like butterfly wings. "It's all right," Agnes said, taking her hand. "I'm nervous too." On the platform, a chauffeur greeted them with a doff of his cap. She was surprised to see a white mask covering his mouth and tied behind his ears. "Mrs. Fairhaven," he said. It took her a moment to realise he was talking to her. She had only been Mrs. Fairhaven for a matter of weeks, and as yet, no one had addressed her as such. Another thing she was going to have to get used to. She was a wife now, with a husband. Agnes tasted the word. It was so new on her tongue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?